We're going to be looking at a story today from this book here. Can you read that? From the Exodus, yeah. Exodus. So are you ready for the word, everybody? And so in the book of Exodus, and we got some slides. I like to use slides. By the way, let me just do a survey. I put a lot of effort into these slides. Are the slides worth having, you know? Yeah. I just kind of think we learn through the ear, we learn through the eye, and that's why I do it. I don't want them to be a distraction, that's for sure. I want it just to be a blessing. But in the book of Exodus, we learn that God raised up a man named Moses and to rescue Israel out of Egypt. And that was about 1500 BC, by the way, for those who are interested. The Israelites at that time were living as slaves under the tyranny of Pharaoh. And so Moses represents Jesus, Pharaoh represents the devil, Egypt represents the fallen world, the Israelites represent you and me. And you know, we as Christians, just a side thing, we live out of the New Testament, but the Old Testament's important as well, because the Old Testament points to Jesus, and the lessons in the New Testament, we're helped to understand the lessons and teachings in the New Testament by going to the stories and teachings of the Old Testament. And that's really, really important. So as I said, Moses represents Jesus, the Pharaoh represents the devil, Egypt represents his fallen world, the Israelites represent you and me. The Israelites escaped Egypt, and then they passed through the Red Sea, and the Red Sea represents water baptism. And it's important that as we become followers of Jesus, that we are baptized in water. And you know, we'll have another baptism service soon as the weather warms up. Who's glad about the weather warming up? Yeah. Once through the Red Sea, the Israelites entered into a covenant, a wonderful covenant with Almighty God. And a covenant, I think most of us understand this, it's an agreement, a very important agreement. And those ancient Israelites, they received the 12 commandments. People get it mixed up, don't they? The Ten Commandments, and the number 10 is actually really important, but we'll talk about that another time. They learned that under the covenant, their sins would be washed away by a lamb being slain. That's what they learned. And they received promises of great blessing if they followed and obeyed the Lord. And that's the same for us today. We've been rescued by Jesus from the tyranny of Satan. Amen? And we've entered into a new covenant with God that replaces the old covenant that the Israelites had. Instead of an animal being slain for our sins, we've learned that Jesus Christ took upon himself the punishment from God for our sins. That's what communion was about today. Jesus laid his life down on our behalf. We know this. I'm reminding you. We've received promise of great blessing if we continue to follow and obey the Lord Jesus. We know these things. But then after establishing covenant with God, the ancient Israelites back in 1500 BC, they then got ready to enter the promised land. And the promised land was a tiny strip of land, really small. We've actually been there. It's where modern day Israel is today. It's a tiny strip of land. It was in those days, it was also known not just as a promised land for the Israelites, but also as the land of Canaan. And this is how the Bible describes the promised land. The Lord said this, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams, of pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills." This sounds like Gosnells. I don't know what's going on here. "It's a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It's a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking." Amen. "It's a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills." So this promised land was really, really wonderful. Absolutely. And the land of Israel still is wonderful. However, at that time, the land was occupied by seven other nations. These nations were very wicked. They were depraved, absolutely. And they were evil. And they had no respect for God. They did not want to follow God. And so God directed Israel to drive these wicked nations out of the promised land and the land could be theirs. So that's what they were to do. But before entering the promised land, the Israelites sent 12 men ahead so they could explore the land. After 40 days of exploring, the 12 men returned with their report. But it was soon clear that the 12 men were not in agreement. Two of the men, Caleb and Joshua, distanced themselves from the other 10 men. And this is what the 10 men said. So you've got two groups now. There was 12 of them. They went out together. Over here, you've got Joshua and Caleb. Then you've got the other 10 blokes over here. The 10 men said this to Moses and the people. This is their report. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But, this is a big but. A very big but. Amen. But the people, they said, living there are powerful. But the people living there are powerful, and the towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there. But Caleb, he's over here. He's listening to what they're saying. He tries to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through, this is a bad report, and explored, will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. That's what the 10 men said. That's what these guys said. Caleb and Joshua said this to the people. This is their report. The land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. It's a rich land, flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. So the people listened to Joshua and Caleb, listened to these 10 men. The people listened to everything they were saying, and they heard two conflicting points of view. What did the people decide to do? Well, they paid no attention to the report given by Caleb and Joshua, but instead they believed the bad report of the 10 men. And the bad report of the 10 men caused them to worry, fret, and panic. And the Bible says this, the whole community began weeping aloud and they cried all night long. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses. If only we had died in Egypt or even in the wilderness, woe is me, they complained. And then, this is astounding that they would even say this, wouldn't it be better for us to backslide? Whoa! Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Wouldn't it be better for us to go back and live in the world? Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. God was listening to all of this. They were so afraid that they actually thought about going back to Egypt. That's just appalling. That's just shocking. So what, the question is, what did happen to these panicky, complaining Israelites? Did they make it to the promised land? No, they didn't. That whole generation of Israelites never entered into God's promised land for them. Instead, for 40 long years, they wandered around and around and around and around in the wilderness. And they died in the wilderness. And it was their children who later took possession of the promised land. Question, why didn't these people enter the promised land? It was because they believed the bad report from the 10 men. No one stopped them. Nobody stopped them from going into the promised land. They never even faced the giants. Nobody stopped them. They stopped themselves by listening and believing the bad report. Somebody listening today to this message, you know where I'm headed. The bad report robbed them of the land of milk and honey. The bad report robbed them of a new home where nothing was lacking. The bad report robbed them of God's best for them, and God's best is better than anything in the world that the world has to offer. And that bad report nearly took them back to the land of slavery. Israel got ripped off by a bad report. And we all in this room today and people online, we need to watch out because the devil still peddles his bad reports today. Today. The devil is the original scammer. Who's ever been scammed on the internet? A few of you. I know some people have really lost a lot on the internet through scammers. Well, the devil is the original scammer. He's constantly scamming Christians out of God's best with a bad report. Maybe he's scamming you today. You know, maybe he's got your ear. Has the devil got your ear? Are you holding on to a bad report that's affecting your faith and your life? So what is a bad report? What made these 10 men's report bad? What was bad about it? After all, didn't the 10 men just simply tell the truth? Weren't they being just realistic? Is there anything wrong in being realistic? Weren't they being realistic about the challenges they faced? Well, the 10 men were correct in saying that there were fortified cities in the promised land. That was absolutely correct. Yes, it was. They were also correct in saying that there were powerful armies to fight. Yes, there was, in the promised land. So all of that was true. And telling the truth is really important. Telling the truth is right, it's wise, it's proper. God wants you to tell the truth. But remember this, a powerful bad report always has a little bit of truth in it. I'm going to say it again. A powerful bad report always has a little bit of truth in it. That's what makes a bad report so believable and attractive to people. But it's not the truth that makes a bad report bad. But a report is bad when it undermines faith in the Word of God. Everybody? Right? A bad report is bad when it cuts across the promises of God. A bad report is bad when it does not acknowledge the goodness and faithfulness of the Lord. See, those 10 men added to their report by saying this to everyone. They said, we can't go up against them because they are stronger than we are. And they also said, the land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. They added that in there. And it was those statements you can see on the screen right now. It was those statements that made their report a bad report because those statements cut right across God's promises to them. God had previously said to the Israelites, I have promised you, you will possess their land because I will give it to you as your possession. A land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has set you apart from all other people. When God made that promise to them, he knew about the fortified cities. He knew about the giants. He knew about the armies that they would face in the promised land. But God gave his word to the Israelites that he would never fail them. He gave his word to the Israelites that they would give, that he would give the promised land to them. That meant the enemies did not stand a chance against them. There was nothing to fear. And yet all the people believe these 10 guys instead of believing Almighty God. Wow. How many times have we done that as well? Not only did those 10 men dishonor the Lord, they dishonored him. But their bad report destroyed people's lives when God wanted to make them a blessed people. You know, there's always that ripple effect from believing a bad report. Never underestimate the destructive power of a bad report. If only those people had believed the word of the Lord. If only they believed the word of the Lord. Everybody, just look at me for a moment. Everybody, you were. God has a promised land for you. He does. And when we say promised land, we're not talking about heaven. Not at all. That's something else. One day Jesus is coming to take us to go to heaven. I'd like that to happen today. Anybody with me? That would be good. Yeah. And in heaven, there are no fortified cities that you got to fight. In heaven, there's no more battles, there's no more giants to face, there's no more sickness, there's no more curse, there's no more death, there's no more struggles. That's heaven. That we're not talking about that. But there still is, in this life, a special promised land that the book of Hebrews in the New Testament calls the rest of God. Rest of God. And it's available for you, it's available for me, it's available for all Christians. The psalmist David prophetically alluded to the new promised land when he said this to God. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Our promised land is no longer a strip of land in the Middle East that belongs to the Israelis. That's theirs. Our promised land is a gift of a blessed life while living in the middle of a world full of trouble. Jesus said this, he said, the thief, that's the devil, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus said of himself, my purpose is to give them, that's you and me, a rich and satisfying life. Jesus is talking about the promised land. Our promised land is a rich and satisfying life, even when we have to face problems and disappointments. And our promised land is anchored not in the strip of land, but our promised land is anchored in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the apostolic writings that make up the New Testament of the Bible. Our promised land is anchored in what Jesus Christ has done for us when he died on the cross and rose again. Our promised land is anchored in the promises of Almighty God. You step into your promised land each day when you get out of bed by exercising your faith and trust in what God has to say in the Bible instead of putting your faith and trust in some report that comes from the world. Did that come out all right? I'm just trying to think what I said. I'm going to say it again because I stumbled over my words. You remember that experience when you get out of bed? Maybe you did it today. You got out of bed. Okay, let's start there. Each day, because it's a daily thing, when you get up in the morning, you step into your promised land by exercising your faith and trust in what God has to say in the Bible. Instead of putting your faith and trust in what the newsreader has to say on your TV, what the radio announcer has to say, what the paper has to say, what your neighbor has to say. Eventually, the children of those ancient Israelites did enter the promised land 40 years later. And they did find it to be really good. It was a God-blessed land that flowed with milk and honey. But those Israelites still had to fight for that land. They faced formidable enemies within the blessed land. And God gave them victory after victory after victory when they stood their ground in faith in God's promises to them. On the one hand, they had a beautiful land to live in, but on the other hand, they had some battles to fight and win. Isn't that the same for us? It's the same for us. It's the same for you in your promised land. You are richly blessed and chosen by the Lord, but you're not immune from the struggles of life that every person has to face. There are giants in the land. Some of you might be facing giants right now. Some people at home, I know that you're facing giants of poor health right now. There's giants in the land. And sometimes, you know, in life, you do get hurt. Let's just do a survey. Anybody here never been hurt by anybody? Says it all, doesn't it? Sometimes, of course you're going to get hurt. Sometimes you suffer loss. There's all kinds of losses we have. You suffer a loss of a relationship, loss of a marriage, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a job. There's all sorts of, we suffer those things. Sometimes your heart gets broken and it really hurts bad. That's the truth. That's okay to say that. That's the truth. This really hurts bad right now. That's okay. Sometimes you fail, sometimes we do. Anybody here ever failed before? Who's sitting next to somebody who's ever failed before? Just. But we all do. Sometimes we get very disappointed with ourselves. Here's another one. Sometimes you also feel alone. Sometimes you get disappointed. Because these are the giants that we all face and more. They're the giants. But we also know in this promised land of God that nothing that we face in life can ever separate us from the love of God. We know that God takes all the stuff, all the pain that life throws at us, and God then takes it and uses it for our good. Somehow he does that. We also know that if we get knocked down, we're going to get back up again. We also know that weeping only lasts for a season, but joy comes in the morning. We also know that God is with us, and greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. We also know that we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And that's without booze and drugs as well. Amen. You don't need your mate Jack Daniels anymore. Let me give you the tip. He's not your mate. We also know that in all things, we are more than conquerors. I'm going to say that again. We also know that in all things, we are more than conquerors. Which book in the Bible tells us that? The book of Romans. Absolutely, Fritz, go to the top of the class. Amen, amen. I'm going to say it again. We also know that in all things, we are more than conquerors. And we also know, because we read the last book of the Bible, we win. So what do we say? We say, watch out, devil, here we come. Because of Jesus Christ, you are able to overcome those that are against you. You're able to come through adversity. You're not going to go down. You're not going to go under. Listen, I'm speaking over you right now. You will come through adversity. You will come through this trouble. You will recover. You're able to recover. Not only will you recover, but you will thrive. You are able to thrive. You're able to bear fruit. You're able to laugh. You're able to be contented. You're able to spread the love of Jesus, and goodness and mercy are following you. Because it's all in the promised land. That's a good place for somebody to shout amen.
Amen.
Nonetheless, and we're going to finish in a moment. The outcome of every kind of struggle, every discouragement, every challenge that you face is determined by a choice that you make when you face the enemy, when you face that intimidating giant. It's the same choice that the ancient Israelites had to decide when the 12 men came back from exploring the land. The Israelites had to decide, which report will you believe? Who were they going to listen to? Who did they listen to? Would they believe the report of Joshua and Caleb, which was saturated with faith in God's promises? Or would they believe the report of 10 men that was saturated in fear and rebellion? We know that they chose to believe the bad report instead of believing the word of God. They chose poorly. And they ended up living in the wilderness, which was a place of dryness, instead of living in the promised land of victory. Every day, you and me, all of us, everybody really, we're just bombarded by various kinds of bad reports all the time. All the time. You know, the media is appalling. I know I'm online right now, but I so want to say, I'm going to be really careful. I'll be careful. But this can go anywhere. I think the media in Australia is appalling, and the industry needs to take a hard, long look at itself. Amen. Let it go wherever it wants to go. Amen. Shame on the media. There is a flood of bad reports raining down all over our society, and it's messing with people's heads. And it's raining down over us. And then behind every contrary circumstance, we also know that, you know, there are bad reports and bad things that happen. We know that. And we know that behind all of this stuff of life, these those niggling little voices. Those voices can be in your own thoughts or the mouths of friends or the news. They tell you that things are only going to get worse for you. Those voices tell you that you might as well give up. Some voices will tell you that God has forgotten you. They tell you to give up your faith and go back to Egypt. It was easier when you were backslidden. Why put your trust in God? These little voices say. Those voices are the bad reports that are coming from the enemy. The devil is trying to intimidate you, scam you out of God's best for your life. And if you believe those bad reports, they will lead you into the wilderness, a spiritually dry place, an unfruitful place. But you belong to Jesus. You're not going to go into the wilderness. You're called to his promised land. You have his word. You have his teachings. You have his promises. And so you're faced with a choice. Will you believe those bad reports, or will you choose to believe the word of God? The outcome of every giant battle, circumstance of life that you face, the outcome is determined by your decision. Which report will you believe? Never underestimate the destructive power of a bad report, but also never underestimate the life-giving power of the Word of God. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the Word of the Lord. We will believe the Word of the Lord. Come on, everybody, let's stand to our feet.